For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday evening service of December the 26th, 1996, at the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
Brother Tommy Cook is going to come and minister the word of the Lord as the Lord moves before you this evening.
Praise God.
We're just glad and appreciate them coming, and Wanda, and I see you got...
Janelle,
there beside you. I didn't see her until a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you were around here earlier, but I didn't see you. Forgive me.
Praise God.
Blessings to you all for coming.
Amen.
We pray the anointing of the Lord over the rest of this service today.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many are glad to be here tonight? Praise God. How many are glad Jesus is here tonight? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for your love and your mercy to us, Lord. Without that, we wouldn't be here, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. It keeps us, Lord, even in the valleys, the mountaintops, and the mountaintops too. It keeps us, Lord, and protects us. We thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for this meeting tonight, and bless our hearts, Lord, as we go on the Word. Cause the Word to touch our hearts and minister life to us in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen. God love you. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Let me take all these notes out of my Bible here. I got a bunch of them. I had another word that I was going to preach on going through the veil, but we're not going to go that way tonight. But I hope to share that before I leave if the Lord directs. But I'm glad to be here. I didn't make Thanksgiving. I was sick. We just got back from England, and I got hit in my body. But how many know that we're in battles today, aren't we? Spiritually, mentally some, emotionally some, financially. You know, the home, whatever. But how many know that we're more than conquerors through Christ? Come on. Our Lord. Amen? You know, the little battles are preparing us for the big battle. We're coming to the big battle, aren't we? And if we don't overcome the little ones, we'll never make it through the big one. Let's go to Psalm 78. I want to touch a few scriptures here and touch on the army of the Lord tonight. That's what God told me to do right there, I believe, and I believe we're in a war, and we're going on with God. I had a vision last night, or a dream, I don't know what it was, and let me know there's two Jerusalems tonight. There's natural Jerusalem, and there's the spiritual Jerusalem, the church, the bride. And in this vision or dream I had last night, a lady called me on the phone, and she said, "Turn the television on." And she was talking. I could hear her voice. She was talking as I approached the television. And I knew there was a war going on in Israel. I'm talking about natural Israel, but how many know there's a war in it and spiritual Israel too? And as I turned the television on, I saw this war right in Jerusalem. And how many know that's the natural city, but there's also a war in spiritual Jerusalem. And to my left, I saw big guns. I mean, they were shooting these guns off right there from the city of Jerusalem. And I said, before I saw that, I said, Israel's going to hit them. Hallelujah. I mean, know that we're to hit our enemy, not one another. Come on, amen. We got some targets we're to hit, amen. And I saw these guns go off, and I saw those big mortar shells going out to my left, and it was hitting the enemy. And I saw ground troops. And then to my right, I saw a big tank coming down the street, and this thing was shooting ammunition. And I mean, the fire was going. And it was just like I was there, and I thought he was going to hit me. I mean, I was so close to this thing. And I tell you, I believe we're at a time when war is going to break out. Not only in the spirit, but even in the natural. I mean, we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem, both naturally and spiritually. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But look in Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of double fruit, being armed and carrying bows, at a critical time, didn't they? I mean, no, it's no time to turn back. Anybody want to go to war to win, or you want to lose? I mean, no, some of us have lost some battles. because we've turned back. And yet Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. In the time, in the heat of the battle, they gave up. Listen, there's no place of retreat, is there? Amen? I mean, many freeze when war, when things break out, they freeze and don't know what to do. We need some answers from God, don't we? We've all done it, haven't we? We've all retreated. We've all given up in some situations. But we need the Lord to help us. Look in verse 41. Yea, they turned back. But notice something. And tempted God. What does it mean to tempt God? To tempt God means you ask God for a sign greater than he wants to give you. I mean, the devil said to Jesus, get on the temple and throw yourself down. God will protect you. I mean, that'd be tempting God. Come on now, amen? They turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Are we limiting God in our life by turning back? Yes. Certainly we are, all of us, at times. Now look over at one other verse. Look in verse 57. Back to verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully or treacherously like their fathers. How many know some of us have some problems coming from our fathers? Called sins of the fathers. And three things God showed me mainly: rebellion, iniquity, and idolatry. Let me show it to you. Hold your place right there. Turn to Jeremiah. How many know that's all of us? We all have familiar spirits we have to battle. Come on, don't shout me down. Jeremiah 11, 9, 10. Let's go back to verse 9. Jeremiah 11, 9. The Lord said, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah. Among the men of praise, among the praisers, God said there's a conspiracy. And among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the city of peace, they are what? Come on. Turn back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Let me see that. There's your iniquity. And refuse to hear my words. That's rebellion. And they went after other gods. That's idolatry, to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Verse 11, therefore thus saith the Lord. Here's the results of iniquity, of rebellion, and idolatry. Therefore he says, behold, I will bring evil upon them which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry unto me, I will not hearken or listen to them. How many know we need to repent of our iniquities? Come on. Our rebellion and our idolatry. From our forefathers. Amen? And we need to say, God, help us not to go back to those sins of our forefathers. Now, back in 78 of Psalms, what did he say, this last scripture? It said, but they turned back, verse 57, dealt unfaithfully like their fathers, and they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Turned aside. I mean, if we don't make it, somebody else will make it. If we're not the generation to be in the man-child, come on, here on the earth, somebody will make that man-child company. Amen? But how many know God has an army there? He has an army here. And he'll bring us together. Do you believe that? All right, look in Proverbs 22. Chapter 22, 21:31. Now here, God is preparing someone for this day of battle. We're not to turn back. We're not to tempt God. We're not to go back to the sins of our fathers. All right, 21:31 of Proverbs. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. And how many know if you go into battle, you better be prepared? How many know Satan will eat your lunch if you're not? And in our flesh, we're no match for him, are we, brethren? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Now turn to Job chapter 37 or 8. I hadn't planned this word. I had another word, but God said, preach this word. This is the Lord. So, chapter 38:22 of Job. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? A lot of people don't like snow. I've been in a lot of snow lately, different places I've been going. I mean, the snow is real. Amen? It's real. It's treacherous. Come on, it can be dangerous. But it's also beautiful. Amen? And he said, there's treasures to this snow, didn't he? All right, now watch this. Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Notice, entered and seen. Entered the treasures of the snow. Have you seen the treasures of the hail? So there's something to enter, there's something to see. Now, how many know snow is changed in the heavenlies? Come on. Where are you changed at? Where am I changed at, brother? In the heavenlies. Turn to John. Hold your place. Turn to John 4. John 4. I believe it. No, it's John 3. John 3. Look at verse 12. Jesus said these words, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" You ever hear people say, "Well, you're too deep. I just don't get it." Well, let me tell you why you don't get it. You got to live in the Spirit. Come on, we got to learn to listen in the Spirit what the Spirit is saying through whoever's using. Isn't that right? Verse 13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." He lived in the heavenlies. He walked and talked in the heavenlies, didn't he? Brother, we're being changed. Come on, for the heavenlies. Amen? I mean, no, we're living too far down in the carnal realm, and we've got to come up tonight. I said, we have to come up. And we're going to break through that veil. Hallelujah. There's a veil to be broken yet in your life and my life. And I'll get into that later, hopefully. Back to Job. What is he saying? He's saying up here about this treasure of snow and treasure of hail. Verse 23, "which I have reserved." God said, "I reserved that snow and that hail. I reserved it for the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war." Hallelujah. War is here, and many Christians don't even know it tonight. How many know if things are not being upset in your life, you're not in war tonight. If things are turning you upside down, which I think most of us here, maybe it's happening. I don't mean we're losers. Come on, how many know we're winners tonight in Him? But there is a battle raging in the Spirit if we really know it. Isn't there? Hallelujah. But I know He's won the victory for us, hasn't He? And yet we have to walk it out as well. Now turn with me to a scripture. Well, first of all, how many know that snow, when the snow falls, we don't think too much about it when it starts coming down. But you live up in Michigan, way up in the Upper Peninsula, way up there. How many know they get a lot of snow up there? You don't think much about it when it first falls, but how many sooner or later it covers all the fences and all the areas and everything in its sight. And it's beautiful. And you look over the mountain, you see that snow, but how many know that same snow melts and comes down, it can become a judgment and it can destroy. Isn't that right? And everybody knows when it hails. I mean, you don't hear snow falling, but you can sure hear the hail coming down, can't you? Beating up on the houses and the cars. Like, oh man, I got to go to the insurance company. All right, let's go. Let's turn to scripture. Go with to Isaiah. I'll give you two scriptures in Isaiah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Let's look at the hail. Look at verse 2. I'm sorry, it's Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 2. It said, "Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one." How many know David had some mighty men? God's raising up His mighty men and women, isn't He? I saw a mighty woman in Christ operate today. Her name is Sister Mildred. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, no, she wasn't backing down for no devil. Huh? No. I mean, no, you got to be bold in the Lord, but you got to know who you're moving in. Isn't that right? And it says here, "Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand." What's the hand? Come on. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, come on, shepherd and teacher. Somebody said, what's the best Bible college in the United States? It's under the fivefold ministry. That's the Bible college I recommend. Come on, amen. Get on the apostles and hear Christ in them. Hear Christ in the prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. Thank God for them, amen. Hallelujah. Now, look over with me. Look over here. Just look at this hail. Look in verse 17. He said, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail." Now, this can't be natural hail that we're talking about tonight, or even natural snow, although God may use that. Here he said, the hail shall sweep away, come on, the refuge of what? I mean, no hail out there going to sweep a lie away. It hits your car. Huh? Here's a ministry that's gonna sweep away lies. And how many know there's some lies that's got to be swept away? What are the lies? The tail of the dragon? False prophets? Come on, false ministries? That's abounding in the land? And he said in this verse, they'll sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now look over in chapter 30. Here we see this hail again in chapter 30 of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 30. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm. There's his authority and power. With indignation of his anger, with the flame of a devouring fire, and notice, and with scattering and tempest and hailstones. How many see that? And through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down which smote with a rod. The Assyrian is a picture of the Antichrist there. And look down to chapter 31, 8. The Assyrian shall fall also by the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword. His young men shall be discomfited. I'll tell you, God's going to put the sword on the enemy in this hour. How many know this is our weapon, brethren? We need to get it in us and learn to use it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go over to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah 10. Now, God said he's preparing the horse for the day of battle, didn't he? In Proverbs. We saw that. How many know Joel 2 talked about the same army? Joel 2. Now, let me ask you a question. How many know there's an overlap from one age to another? Was there an overlap from the law to grace? From grace to the kingdom, there's an overlap. Some believe we're already in the overlap, some don't. I don't. God hasn't told me. But I know if we're not, we're close. Some believe we're in it. I mean, I don't argue either way. But how many know that there is an overlap, though? Now, when in Genesis, when did the first day started when? What? At night, right? In the evening? And went right on through till the next evening. Isn't that right? Now, you can't come to midnight until, first of all, come on, you first have the first darkness. How many know when it starts getting dark? It gets a little darker and darker. And finally, you come to midnight, and it's total black darkness, isn't it? Huh? Now, you can't come to morning, though, till you come through midnight. You got darkness, then you got gross darkness, come on, and then you got the morning, right? How many believe there's a people ready for the morning? But you won't be ready for the morning until you come through the darkness and the gross darkness. Look in Joel. Hold your place. Look in Joel. Let me show it to you. Hallelujah. We've seen some darkness, haven't we, brethren? But have we seen yet the gross darkness? How many know there's tribulation that has taken place in the past, AD 70? But how many know that doesn't do away with 19, maybe 96, 97, 98, 99, whenever? How many know some scriptures have more than one meaning? Now, we have brethren that believe that tribulation took place in AD 70, and I agree with that. But how many also believe that there's tribulation for this day? Huh? I believe that. And some of them say it's all past, it's all gone. Well, maybe for that age it was. But how many know we're living in 1990, almost 1997? Some say, well, the falling away took place way back there, and probably it did. But I'm telling you, we're living in another one. We're also living in the greatest time anybody can live in, because God's going to move on the left and the right. God's going to pour out His Spirit. Come on. And in the midst of apostasy, God's going to move and the kingdom's going to be preached. Isn't that right? All right. Now, here in Joel, look at Joel 2. Come on, blow the trumpet. Where? Where are we going to blow this trumpet? Sound alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand, and yet it hadn't taken place. In the Spirit, how many know that it's nigh at hand? Christ coming, the day of the Lord is always nigh at hand when you're in the Spirit. Our problem is we stay in the flesh so much. A day of darkness, gloominess. Somebody said, I don't want that old gloom and doom. Well, it's coming. Day of clouds, big darkness. But notice, it's also as the what? Come on. The morning. How many want to be part of the morning? Spread upon the mountains. A great people, and he said, a strong. In the midst of darkness and gloominess and all the doom, God has a people like the morning. You know what? They're full of light. They're full of sunshine. And I don't mean they just go around with a big smile on their face all the time. I mean, there's some of that fakey stuff anyway. Don't shout me down now. I said, some of us fakey anyway. Huh? How many want on the inside of you? Praise God. How many know there's a difference in happiness and joy? A lot of people are happy until things go wrong. Until the merry-go-round gets broken. And then all their happiness is gone. But somebody, come on, can have joy even when it breaks down. That's within. Amen? Praise God. All right, look in Zechariah 10 now. All right. We're coming to the latter rain. How many want to see God let a rain? Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass. We're coming to the third day from Jesus, seventh day from Adam. We're coming to the ingathering, the great ingathering that will be at the end of this age. And I believe God's going to save everyone that he can save. I believe nations will come to God in the days ahead. We're coming to restoration. We're coming to a people called Zion. We're coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. How many thank God for Passover and Pentecost? But how many know God wants us to move on to Tabernacles? Don't dwell at Pentecost. Come on, it's time to move towards Tabernacles. God's got a greater outpouring in Tabernacles than he had at Pentecost. And that was great. Amen? Thank God for that. But he said, ask you the Lord rain in this time of the latter rain. So we must know the timing, and we must ask God to pour out this Holy Spirit. I know some say we're in the greatest outpouring we've ever had, but I believe we're just in trickles of it. Come on, amen? If we're in the fullness, I missed it. I missed it if we're in the fullness of it. I thank God for what he's doing. I think we're seeing God moving here and there, different places. And I thank God for that. But we have not seen the fullness of it yet, have we, brother? If we have, we've missed it. Amen? And shame on us. But he said in verse 2, notice verse 2, the idols have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, idolatry and fortune tellers, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, it's vanity. Therefore, God says, they went their way as a flock and were troubled because there was no shepherd. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of church people are troubled because they need a shepherd. They need shepherds. But they need the shepherd tonight. First of all, they need Jesus. And how many of people are so spiritual in some places they don't even need a local work anymore? I want to tell you, that's pure deception. You need the body of Christ wherever you are. So do I. We need the fivefold ministry. We need to hear them. And we need to be changed by the Spirit of God through them. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he said in verse 3, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. You think God's getting upset today with any shepherds? You believe God's going to judge some shepherds? Now, when I say shepherds, I'm not just talking about local shepherds. Always. How many know apostles are shepherds? You know that Jeremiah was a prophet, but he was also a shepherd? He called himself a pastor. Hallelujah. All the fivefold ministries are shepherds. And how many know that there's a greater accountability to the fivefold ministry than the other people? God's going to hold us more accountable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, we're not to meet man's standard. We're to meet God's standard. There's a difference, isn't there? Sometimes people want to put us in their mold. Say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, you got to do what God says do. Come on, if we followed every voice, how many know we'd go down all kind of rabbit trails? Isn't that right, Brother Coffee? Amen. We want to follow the one voice. Come on. He said, my sheep. Come on. Hear my voice, another they'll not follow. You know what God has to do? God has to teach and train the leader to train the people to hear the voice of God. Listen, the leader's not the only one who hears the voice of God. Is that right? Well, if the leader just heard the voice of God, man, we'd just go to him for everything. He'd become our idol, our God, everything. But how many know leaders don't always hear God? How many know Elisha said one time, God has hid it from me?
Yes.
Remember that? He hides a lot of things from us. Come on, amen? But he might speak to some little sheep back in the back row. And we better listen to that sheep. Come on, amen? How many believe that? You know, another thing is, well, I got my counselor. I'll go to my counselor. You know, my counselor has all the answers. Well, that's good sometime. And you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Not just in one man or woman. Because how many know that counselor might backslide? May die. Come on. May listen to a wrong voice. Then we got people who want to call their favorite prophet up. Come on. Our prophetess. I need a word from God. Well, that's fine if God's in it, but if it's not, you better look out. It might lead you down the wrong pathway. Then we have those who lay claim to the sheep as their own. Listen, we are His sheep. We don't belong to man. We belong to God Almighty. You're the sheep of His pasture. Can you say amen? We need Jesus. We're His sheep. We're accountable to Him. I don't mean we don't need under shepherds. Don't misunderstand me. We need under shepherds. Those that's led by God. Those who will not dominate, dictate, come on, manipulate, intimidate. We need men and women of God who listen to God. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, he said in verse 3, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. You met any goats lately? Have we been one? For the Lord of hosts. Bill's over here laughing. I bet he's been one. I mean, for the Lord of hosts has visited what? Come on, his flock. The house of what? Praise, or Judah. Has made them as his goodly horse. Here it is. In the battle. That goodly horse means royal horse. Now, when are we being made this royal horse? This goodly horse? When are we being made that? Just any time? No, in the battle. In the battle. What did we say? What did we see in Psalms there? Somebody turned back, didn't they? Somebody turned back. These are those that will not turn back. These are those that go into battle because they know who's leading them into battle. And how many know just because people's in a battle, you don't jump in their battle? You be led of the Holy Ghost. Because you jump in a battle without God, how many know you're in a battle? Amen? How many's ever been caught in the middle of something? Come on, raise your hand. I remember one time, six things I was caught in the middle, and I said, how do I get out of this mess? And yet we let people drag us into things, and God didn't. And then we wonder, you know, why we get things happen to us. Let God lead you into battle, amen, into war. How many believe that? All right, now look at this verse. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. Turn to chapter 11 of Zechariah. All right, look in verse 15. I thank God for shepherds. I'm not against shepherds. I believe that. That God has real shepherds in the body of Christ. And I also believe there's false ones. Chapter 11, verse 15. The Lord said to me, take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off. Notice, they'll not visit those. Neither shall they seek the young one, nor heal that is broken. Didn't Jesus come to do that? Nor feed that stands still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and notice, tear their claws in pieces. These are false shepherds. These are shepherds that don't care about the body of Christ. Now look at the next verse. Woe to what? How do you spell that word idol there? Not I-D-L-E, it's I-D-O-L. Some shepherds have become an idol. Like one man said, when I need my house painted, the sheep come and paint my house. When I need the car washed, the sheep come and wash my car. When I need my shoes shined, they come and shine my shoes. And I say, hog wash and below me. Now, it's fine to help one another. Come on now. But we're not to manipulate people to do those things. We all need help, especially as leadership and so forth. We need help, but not to misuse the sheep. Amen? Listen to what he says. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. What's going to happen when you leave the flock? Huh? Look, let me show you. Look in Isaiah 56. I don't know how I'm getting on this, but we're going to hit it. Isaiah 56, I didn't plan it. Isaiah 56, verse 9. And notice, all you beasts, demonic powers of the world, the field, come to devour, yea, all you beasts in the forest. What's in the forest? What's in the forest? Well, you got beasts, but what else? You got trees. How many know that Satan has a chainsaw? He wants to cut down every tree of righteousness. He wants to destroy them by beasts. His watchmen are blind. Spiritual darkness. No revelation. They're all ignorant. That's spiritual darkness right there. They're all dumb. They're not blowing the trumpet. They're not sounding the warning. They're dumb dogs. And Paul said, beware of dogs. Philippians. You know what a dog was in the Old Testament? It was a male prostitute. They cannot bark. They'll not warn. They'll not, again, sound the trumpet. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot, what? Understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. And so, God said, the beast of the field will come and devour in that situation. Okay, we need shepherds that have discernment and that will cry out and warn the people of God. I don't mean just the local church, but I mean across this whole nation as well as the world. Back in Zechariah. Back in Zechariah. Now notice what he said in chapter 11 again. Okay? He said, woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock, the sword, this is judgment, shall be upon his arm, upon that authority that he had, God gave him. And upon his right eye, the eye that had revelation and vision, insight, perception, and discernment from God. And his arm, that authority, shall be clean, dried up. God is drying up some authority. Let me tell you something, brethren. Hear this. I want you to hear this by the Spirit. Do not follow those who reach for authority, but follow those who reach for responsibility, and out of responsibility will flow authority. Hallelujah. I can show you in the Scripture that. Amen? Now, we don't follow those who scatter the flock, but gather the flock. Amen? I said we don't follow those that scatter, but gather the flock. We don't follow those that fleece the flock. Come on. Do we? Have you been fleeced lately? But we follow those that feed the flock. And there's a difference. How many know there's people in this service right here have been fleeced? You have to forgive those who fleeced you. You have to forgive them. Amen. I have to forgive. Now, look, notice now. He said his arm shall be dried up, clean dried up. His right eye, the one that had revelation and vision, shall be utterly darkened. No more revelation and visions from God. If it is, it's divination. Are you hearing me? How many know God took the spirit away from Saul? He couldn't hear God anymore. What did he do? He went to a witch of Endor. And so when God begins to dry things up and there's no more revelation, man begins to work, drum things up, or he goes to the enemy. All right, back to chapter 10. Back to chapter 10. Hallelujah. All right, now we said in verse 3, God is making this people his goodly or royal horse in the battle. Royal horse is what that word goodly horse means. How many know there's royalty in us tonight? Are you glad there's some royalty in you tonight? Hallelujah. And he's making us that in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. Verse 5, and they shall be, notice, they shall be, instead of being, they shall be as mighty men. Mighty men. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 13 and see it. Go to Isaiah 13, hold your place there. And let's see these mighty men. I mean, all that includes the women too. Hallelujah. Isaiah 13. In fact, I'll tell you what, I've seen some mighty women in God. I mean, thank God for mighty women in God. Mm-hmm. I've had some pray for me and stand with me. Thank God for them. Chapter 13 of Isaiah, verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones. God could command them. I have also called my, here it is, mighty ones. For mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Verse 4, the noise of a multitude in the mountains like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. You know what this time is? It is Armageddon. Armageddon is not one place. How many know Armageddon is worldwide? Armageddon is both naturally and spiritually. It's not just all spiritual. It is spiritual, but there's also going to be natural wars. Hallelujah. And they come from a far country. Here it is, these mighty ones. From the end of heaven, even the Lord. And notice, the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. How many believe that God is angry with this generation? The sin of this generation. The iniquity of this generation. And God said here that this day of the Lord is at hand, it will come as a destruction. And then he talks about it here. Now look in verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Verse 10, here's Matthew 24. The stars of heaven, the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity and so forth. God is going to judge the wicked, isn't he, brethren? But how many know before he does that, he's going to judge the church? He must judge the church first before he judges the world. How many believe that? All right, back to Zechariah now. There's another scripture that I didn't give you in Joel 3 about those mighty ones. You might look it up in your time. But let's go back to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 5. This royal horse, this goodly horse company, these mighty men in verse 5, he said, which shall tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. Is it better to have your foot on their neck or they have their foot on your neck? I feel like I've been through the mud a few times. How about you? It's time to switch it. Amen? And they shall fight. Look at this army. They shall fight. And this isn't flesh and blood we're fighting. I mean, no, that's not our battle. Because the Lord is what? Come on. With them. And the riders on horses, this is the other group now we're talking about, shall be confounded. The enemy's going to be confounded. Hallelujah. And I will strengthen the house of praise, Judah. Save the house of Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Joseph means addition. It means addition. It means to... Joseph was one who preserved life, not destroyed life. I mean, he went ahead and prepared the food for the people. I mean, there's got to be some preparation, not only spiritually, but possibly in the natural. If God tells us to do that, we better do that too, hadn't we? But God has to tell us. Don't just run out here and do something on your own. Amen? Hear the Holy Ghost. I mean, some people's got food stored up, probably been 20 or 25 years old. Huh? I don't think I'd want any green beans 25, 30 years old. Well, if you had to eat, I guess it'd be different. But it's, he said they shall be, come on. He said, they shall be as mighty men which shall tread down their enemies and so forth. Verse 6, I will strengthen this house of Judah. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off. I am the Lord their God and will hear them. Let me tell you who God hears. Those that hear him. Those that hear God, he'll hear. Come on, amen. And they of Ephraim, or double fruit, shall be like a mighty man. And their heart shall rejoice as through what? Come on. Through wine. How many thank God for wine? The new wine. Not the natural wine. We're not talking about that stuff. But how many know to have the wine, you got to have what else with it? Wineskin. How many know it's got to be changed? How many want a new wineskin? And how many know to have a new wineskin, you got to soak it in some oil? The anointing. Our brother, somebody said, spoke on the anointing. I'm glad to hear that. And we know that we've got to be soaked in the Holy Ghost. And we know we need some more soaking of the Holy Ghost. Huh? And then we got to soak the wineskin in water, the Word. We've got to be washed with this Word. How many know to wash you, brethren? You let it work in you. And then, how many know we got to turn it inside out, this wineskin? How many feel like you've been turned upside down lately? Inside out. Brother Frazier? And how many know when you're turned inside out, everybody knows what's going on in your life? Just about. Amen? Mm-hmm. And then you got to scrape off all the old crusted interior, somebody said. Any crust that's got to be scraped off? How many know deliverance comes in here? Come on. Amen. And then it's got to be soaked in water or the Word again. Praise God. Wash it again in the Word. And then it's got to be dried out and restitched. How many stitches you got? And then we pour in the new wine. God pours in the new wine. God pours in the new wine. Now listen, we've come possibly in a few places in America where there's been some wine, there's been some joy poured out in a few places.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
Now for some of the good things. Amen. How many know there's always going to be the other with the good? Come on, you're going to have the flesh, you're going to have the devil. Wherever God moves, you're going to have the other, aren't you? It's not all bad. But I thank God for the wine that he's poured out. But you know what we're coming to now? We're coming to the fire and the wind. Amen. We're coming to the fire and to the wind. Now, he says here, in this verse, back here in Zechariah, he said, their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Amen? That heart is, of course, full of wine. And their children shall see it and be glad, their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Verse 8. Now notice what God says. I will hiss or call or whistle for them. How many believe there's a set time for this army of God to move? How many know you can't jump out there and move on your own? Now, I know different ministers here go as God directs us, different places, but I'm telling you, this army that God is truly raising up in America and around the world, I believe every nation, I believe there's a remnant from every nation, there's a time that God will call for this army, and God's army will hear his voice. He said, I will hiss for them and gather them. For I redeem them, they shall increase as they have increased. Let's go to Isaiah 5. Here we see it in Isaiah 5. We see the same thing in Isaiah 5. It's God's army. Hallelujah. Look in verse 26. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 26. How many know this prophet began to talk about these woes in chapter 5? And finally caught up with him in chapter 6. He said, woe is me. But in chapter 5, verse 26, he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far. Here it is. And will hiss or call unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with none shall be trouble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. They're all awake. They're all moving. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed. I mean, know that your loins is reproductive area. Area of strength. And I want to tell you something. You don't reproduce out of yourself. You and I have to become God's eunuchs. Which means we dare not do anything out of ourselves, but only by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what it says in Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11? There are two witnesses. What are they doing? They're standing before the God of the earth. You know why they're standing there? Waiting on God's orders. Waiting on God's direction. They will not move in fleshly activity or religious activity. There's a lot of fleshly and religious activity in all of us. Come on, it's time to shut it down. Time to shut it down. Don't be too quick to run up and lay hands on people. Don't be too quick to run up and prophesy. You better make sure it's the Holy Ghost. Same with me. Let us be careful. Let us not move too hastily ahead of God. Amen? Praise God. Now, listen to what he says. He says, none shall be aware among them, none shall stumble, slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their arms be loose, nor the lads of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp. They have weapons, brethren. They don't have weapons, they know their weapons, they've been trained. They have skills, they know how to use their weapons against not people, but their enemy. And all their bows are what? I mean, oh, that's in a war position. You're going after your target, your enemy, and you know who you're going after, right? Their horses' hoofs, here it is, shall be counted like flint, their wheels like a whirlwind, their roaring shall be like a lion. Hallelujah. Because we have the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. What else? They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar. I mean, that'll scare the enemy. You don't roar at people, you roar at your enemy. The lamb nature we must have towards people is the lion nature we need towards our enemy. Amen? And lay hold of the prey and shall carry it safe, away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about the sea roaring. How many know he was not only talking about the natural, but I'll tell you, these are like a sea roaring against their enemy. The army of God. Hallelujah. And so God says, when I hiss, when I whistle, when I call, they're going to be on the move. Hallelujah. And I believe we're in preparation. We're in boot camp. We're in boot camp. Amen. How many ever went through boot camp? Some of you men. I know some of you did. How many know it was a lot of work and labor, and it wasn't just easy, was it? In fact, my second 8 weeks was worse than my first 8 weeks. I went through the paratrooper jump school. And I mean, it was hard. 700 started the jump school and half finished the course. I mean, I know that in this army, though, we're talking about. I mean, God's going to see our qualifications. Isn't that right? Not in our flesh. It's in Him. Amen? I may be able to do 50 push-ups in the natural. I can't tonight. I used to. But that won't qualify me to be in God's army. My wife's back here laughing. That won't qualify me to be in God's army tonight. But we've got to move in the Spirit, don't we? We've got to live in the Spirit. Now, notice something back in Zechariah, though. I missed. Let's go back here. Notice what he says here in chapter 10. He says in verse 8, I will hiss for them. I will gather them. I have redeemed them. They shall increase as they have increased. How many know there's more that we need to know than what we know? Anybody need more wisdom tonight besides me? Did you ever notice that we don't, God says you don't knowledge to faith, but you add knowledge to virtue. How many know knowledge by itself is a killer without virtue? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can take knowledge and hurt people with it the wrong way, can't you? Amen? Now, he said, though, I have redeemed them and they shall increase as they have increased. And I want to tell you, there's a lot more we need tonight. Don't think you've arrived. We haven't. Amen? Come on, He must increase, and I must. And that's what our flesh doesn't want to do. That's what God says. Amen? Look in Revelation 14. Hold your place there. Let's see this redemption. Revelation 14 is the same as Zechariah 10, Joel 2. It's the army of God. Somebody said, well, that's 144,000. Yeah, it is, but they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. They are His witnesses. Amen. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. Mind of Christ. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were what? Redeemed from where, brethren? From the earth. Means literally away from the earth. Hallelujah. The carnal realm. These are they which were not defiled with the harlot church women, but they are virgins. They're the wise virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever that He goeth. And that takes a cross. And how many know you've got to be led of the Holy Spirit? These were redeemed from among men. Notice, these were redeemed from among men, being what? The first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And there was no guile in their mouth. I ain't got to that place yet. Fully. Anybody here don't have any guile at all in you? If you don't, stand up and shout three times. God wants all the guile out of our heart. He wants deceit out of our heart. I mean, it's in the mouth, it's in the heart. God delivers from guile. Amen? Hallelujah. Seems to be a verse on that. Is there one in Psalms 32? Is it Psalms 32?
I think it's 32. Or 4. Psalms maybe 4. Let me look over here. There's a psalm on it. I know there's something over here on it. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 4. Okay? And I want to give you a couple more things before we close here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, look in Psalms 4. I don't think it's the word guile, but let's look here. Look in verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is what? Godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Who's he talking to? The godly. These are the elect of God in the Old Testament. Now turn to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. Let's see who these godly people are. Verse 6. He said, for this shall everyone that is godly... You know, the New Testament said God's able to deliver the godly out of temptation. Remember that scripture in Peter? This shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, here's tribulation, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my sceptre, or my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of what? No, the songs of deliverance. I would like to hear some songs that will deliver you tonight. Amen. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Don't be like the horse. I mean, no, he's the one who wants to get the bit in his mouth and go his own way. But God said, not so with the godly. Now turn to Psalms 119. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hear those that's been purged of guile. First three verses of Psalms 119. Hear the overcomers right here. Psalms 119, verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed. What does the word blessed mean? Happy, fortunate, to be envied, prosperous. Are the undefiled. My Lord says, blameless in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. They walk in the word, don't they? They're doers of the word. 2. Blessed, again, are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with what? Come on, brethren, help me. The whole heart, their whole heart is in this. This is the godly. 3. They also do no iniquity. They've been purged of that iniquity, that guile. They walk in his ways. What does that mean? They have judged themselves. Because the ways of God are the judgments of God. And if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Oh, hallelujah. So they're walking in the word. They're seeking with a whole heart. They've been purged of iniquity, and they're walking in the ways of God. They're judging themselves. We can judge one another awful quickly, can't we? But brethren, it's time to judge ourselves. One other scripture in Zechariah, and we're through now. Let's go back there and look. Last scripture, and I'm done. Zechariah chapter 10, where we were. Hallelujah. And let's see what he says. And I will sow, S-O-W, plant them. God's going to sow and plant them among the people. They shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. I believe God will translate this army around the world. Like Philip of old. How many know he was translated? I've never been translated. I don't know, one time I saw a car right, headlights on me right here in my windshield, and I was over there and I didn't get hit. I don't know. But I had a friend in Iceland, Brother Boy. He was in the mountains traveling, him and another friend, and Boy was in his car. And all of a sudden, it was in a big snowstorm, and things were going haywire with the car. The car was giving them all kind of problems. They started crying out to God, and all of a sudden, they were coming into the city and saw the lights of the city. I mean, oh, God can do it. God can do it. Hallelujah. Amen. I know of others that has been translated by the Spirit of God. Well, we can't do that in ourselves. God has to do it. Amen. Can you imagine a man here preaching and all of a sudden, boom, I'm gone. Or somebody else was gone. And you wait till he gets back. How many, know he'll have some answers? You won't mind staying up all night, would you? Hallelujah. God's going to translate his army, transport his army worldwide in God's time. I believe we're coming close to it. But brethren, here's what we must give ourselves to God. Let God do the work in us. Amen? Let's die to our flesh. Come on. Let's get deliverance. Let's repent. Amen? And do the things that God requires of us. How many know that you have to deliver yourself? We depend too much on one another. And there's a time for that. But I want to tell you, you're going to be all alone someday and you're going to need help. How many know you better call on God now and learn how to trust God yourself? We need Sister Coffin, Brother Coffin. We need all these that minister deliverance. We need them. But I want to tell you, you need to be a deliverance preacher yourself. How many know we have power in His name? Amen? First, we work on ourselves. How many know that's the best one to start with? Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You tonight. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this army, God, that You're raising up. Hallelujah. These mighty men and women of God that You're raising up, Lord. We thank You and we praise You tonight, Lord. We believe You, Lord God. Hallelujah. That You're doing a work, Lord, in each one of us, Father. We believe part of that army is here tonight, Lord. We believe this army is scattered across this world. And Father God, we ask You to heal us, to deliver us. Father, forgive us. Help us to die out to ourself and to our flesh. And those things that we love, Father God, please help us, Lord, in these areas where we're weak, Lord. All of us, God, we're weak, Father. And we confess we're weak tonight, Lord. But Your grace is truly sufficient, Lord, to help us. To help us, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray for Your mercy. We pray for Your grace. Oh, God. Father, forgive us when we've looked to man and not to You. Forgive us when we've made shepherds our idols, when we put our counselor up on the pedestal, Lord, and we haven't exalted Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. We repent of that, Lord God. Oh, Father, forgive us when we've made others our idols, Lord. Lord, set our eyes upon Jesus, upon the Lord. We bless You, Lord, tonight. We thank You. We thank You for the people that's here. God, these are Your people. They've traveled for many miles, Lord. They're hungry. They're thirsty, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You'll feed them and fill them this week, Lord. That You would do a work in their hearts, Lord. Do a work in our hearts, Father. We thank You for divine healing, divine health. But, Lord, thank You for the work You're doing in our hearts as well as in our minds. Thank You, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise God, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord. God bless you. See you in the morning. Hallelujah. For surely this is an hour that I shall move on the left and on the right for thee. Know that thou art living at the end of the age. And yea, I am going to do a quick work in my people, so submit my people to me. Know that the Lord God is in your midst this night, and His light and glory does come forth in these meetings. Lift up your heart and rejoice and know that I've heard your cry. I've seen your affliction. I've seen your heartaches. And know that God shall heal, God shall deliver, and God shall set you free. Rejoice and know that thou art an end time. Yea, rejoice in me, for yea, I'm with thee, saith the Lord. You're the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got a message? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.